This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
We briefly discuss Grimm Brothers fairy tales in this episode, which can cover some grim topics, including suicide. So please be warned. Hi, welcome to Diversity Dispatch, your local queer and rainbow podcast. Hello, hello.
Kia ora. Oh, what was I going to say? Kia ora, everyone.
Kei te pika koe.
Ka pai. Me koe?
I don't speak enough to. I remember learning that in, I think, like year four in primary school.
That's the only thing that you can remember.
And all I remember is kei te pai. And I wish I knew more, but I don't have the energy to teach myself.
Kei te pai is probably what I should have said. Yeah, ka pai. So, yeah. And me koe is and you.
Kei te pai. happy Te Reo Week.
Yeah. Yeah. Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori.
Yeah. You speak more Māori than I do.
I don't speak much of it, but I do understand it. If I hear a conversation and people are speaking,
you might not speak much, but it's still more than what I can
speak. That's true. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the topic for today, seeing as you suggested it?
Well, yeah, the topic for today, well, other than I'm trying to insert some more te reo into the podcast this week, I thought it would be a good opportunity to talk about gay or queer-coded characters.
Yay!
Hey. But I wanted to start on Pokemon because Pokemon is unveiling, or the Pokemon Company at the moment is currently releasing all of its new Mega Evolutions that are coming out.
And you're obsessed with Pokemon. Don't forget to mention that.
Yeah. I'm not obsessed. I just like it a lot.
Is Charizard queer?
Oh, he could be.
Or Charmander.
Charmander.
You like Charmander better than Charizard, right?
Well, I'm indifferent to the Charmander line, really.
Actually, but you have the Char plushie.
Yeah, well, that's because someone bought it for me.
Oh, right.
And it makes sounds and lights up.
What's your favorite Pokemon then?
Gyarados.
Gyarados. Oh, is it not Gyarados?
No, it's Gyarados.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I've got it tattooed on my arm.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I've got it tattooed on my arm. And okay, and for the listeners, I'll explain why Gyarados is my favorite, even though it's my favorite from the original 100.
I've always said Gyarados in my head whenever I've read it.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah, Gyarados, I have it tattooed on me because from the original 151 Pokemon, if you played Red and Blue or Green and, what is it, Red and Green, it starts out as a little Magikarp, which can do absolutely nothing, and it just flops about and is weak and useless, and then evolves into Gyarados, this almighty sea dragon. And I just really like the idea of, like, oh, don't underestimate this little weak thing because it might grow up to be something powerful, or weak things can grow and overcome things to become stronger.
Nice. I'm going to call all Gyarados Gary in my head.
Fair. I think I called, when I played the game, actually, Red and Blue as a kid, I think I did call my one Gary. But also, Gary is the antagonist in the Pokemon TV anime series.
I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Okay, so would you say Gyarados is queer? And what flavor of queer?
If he was queer, he would be like...
And also Gyarados can be female, can't they?
Yeah.
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 Why are we gendering Gyarados?
He just has the aggressive masculine...
We've been indoctrinated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're assigning a... Yeah, we are. Mm.
Anyway.
Anyway, if he was, he'd probably be like one of those like... older, grumpy daddies or something like that. I don't know. That's what Charizard would be. If Charizard was queer-coded, then they would be like, you know, your leather daddy or something like that. Like,
you use they for Charizard, but he for Gyarados.
Yeah, because we just called him Gary.
Okay. But why can't Gary be a girl? Or a non-binary?
I don't know.
Do they have non-binary Pokemon yet?
Yes, they do. Well, it was mainly just the one Ditto. Which can transform into...
That's more gender fluid, I feel like, than...
True. But it's Ditto as itself is non-binary, so it's not male or female. So it doesn't fit into the...
Right.
Yeah. But if it transforms into something... Because there are some Pokemon that only come in select genders.
Like, is it like Eevees or something are only...
No, no, even it's just the rarity is like there's different ratios. So right. some Pokemon like they're 80% male or 20%.
Interesting.
And there are some that's, you know, like 80% female and 20% male. But what's its one? The nurse one? Chansey?
I don't know.
Chansey is always female. So if Ditto was to transform into Chansey, then that would be gender fluid. But as Ditto itself, it's non-binary. Wow, we're debating the gender politics of Pokemon.
Anyway, characters in general. You like Pokemon. I've never really dived into the Pokemon. I played one game to like the first ending, and then I kept playing and realized that there was even more story, and I was like, no, screw this, and yeah. I stopped playing.
There's always a post-game story arc.
Yeah, which I didn't realize.
Is that not fun, though? You think you finish the game, you're like, oh, no, there's still more to do. This is exciting.
Well, towards the end of the game, it was sort of getting to be a bit of a drag. I was like, all right, let's fight the next bloody trainer or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was just sort of ready for it to be done.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't done.
Meanwhile, I just went and bought some more downloadable content to extend my game because I had done everything.
Yeah. But as I'm not massively into Pokemon, I will be discussing other characters.
Mm, yeah, so who are your queer-coded characters that you grew up with?
That I grew up with?
Yeah.
Okay, so my favorite Disney character ever is probably Scar from The Lion King,
yes.
Which you name-dropped when we were discussing the episode last night as a queer character, which sort of got me thinking because I never sort of viewed him as like a queer character or anything. But talking about it, like I can sort of see him being like the gay kid that was cast out of the family for being gay.
Mm. Yeah, he's like your gay uncle that's like bitter and sour and the...
But he was probably my favorite Disney character. Yeah. And then I really love Ursula, the sea witch, which I know everyone knows about because she's based on Divine.
Yeah.
Really famous drag queen.
Mm. Who I believe ate actual dog poo.
I think so.
In the movie that she was in.
What was the director of the movies again?
I can't remember. It was someone like really niche, wasn't it?
Yeah. It like sort of same vibe as David Lynch, I feel like.
Yeah.
Different.
Yeah.
Let me.
I feel like it's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't remember.
John Waters? Was it?
I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, no, Ursula, but a lot of the Disney villains are queer coded in some way. Like, even Jafar to an extent is kind of. I hope the listeners can't hear my stomach rumbling. So where is it? Who else? Yeah. Who are the other villains?
It was John Waters.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I didn't watch
a
lot of...
I can die happy now, knowing that.
Mm. I'm not a Disney gay. I never watched many Disney films growing up, so like I haven't even seen half of them.
I've never really particularly been loyal to a specific franchise, ever. So I've watched like a handful of this and a handful of that, but never really committed to anything.
Yeah. Yeah. She said sometimes people mention like, oh my gosh, Mulan, I only really watched it during the pandemic, during lockdown, because...
Yeah. Did you ever see the live action?
No, there was the
it
whole thing.
It wasn't very good. I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
I saw it in cinemas, and I was pretty disappointed, because I really loved Mulan.
Yeah.
That reminds me. Animated film, but they changed the whole storyline. I haven't watched it since, so my memory's a little foggy.
Yeah. And it wasn't a musical, was it?
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't start. I meant to go and watch it because my whole thing like during the pandemic was like, oh, I'll watch all of the animated Disney movies and then I'll go watch the live action remakes, blah, 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 blah.
I was so disappointed by the Lion King live action.
I was okay with it, but the one thing that really just bothered me was that they left out the most important line from the first, from the original animated.
And the line was?
And the line was... Oh, golly, no.
oh, golly.
No, golly. It was when Rafiki was having that conversation with Simba about having to return.
Mm.
And was like, the past, that's right, what's in the past, you can learn from it. So he hits him with a stick in the animated one.
Yeah.
And then Simba dodges it when he goes to hit him again. And then Rafiki is like, see, you can either run from the past or you can learn from it. They didn't put that in the remake. And I was like, that was the critical like turning point in when Simba realized he had to go back. He had
Yeah. Because I know that there was this really famous quote, and I don't know if it's from the film originally or if the film was quoting something else, but it was like talking about the past, present, and future. And I don't remember the whole quote, but it's like, that is why we must live in the present, because the present is a gift, or something like that.
Right.
And I remember I really loved that quote, but I don't remember the whole thing now.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I don't think that was from The Lion King, though.
The past is history, the future is a mystery, and the present is something. That is why we call That's why we call it the present.
Today is a gift. That is why we call it.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
We got there.
Eventually.
Yeah. Yes.
The combined neurospicy got there.
Yeah, we've eventually landed on it.
Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why we call it the present. That's the whole quote.
Woo!
Yay!
Yay!
Goodbye.
Okay. Yep, we're done today. Tap out.
But anyway, so why is it that queer people latch onto characters in film and media, do you think?
I've looked into this. I think it's we see ourselves in them a little bit. Mm. You know, that they are seen as the outcasts in some ways. I mean, I the thing that just on the Disney thing before I touch on what I was just saying. With the live action remakes, or even just remakes in general, they seem to be trying to like retcon a lot of the villain's backstory and make it like we have to sympathize with them, and it kind of justifies their bad actions. I'm like, no, why can't the bad guys just continue to be bad?
Yeah.
Because, you know, they did murder people, so why are we like, oh, it's understandable he would be salty and be mad at his brother because of what he did, what happened during their childhood. But do we need them to have a justified reason to want to kill someone? Anyway, that's a whole other thing. But I think it's because we see ourselves in them, you know, we do.
Especially because when a lot of these films were produced, like there weren't live action characters or celebrities or anything like that that people could latch onto in the same way, because it was still illegal and frowned upon to be queer.
Mm.
Because a lot of these films were like 80s, 90s, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lion King was 90s. Pretty don't know when.
I think The Little Mermaid might have even been like the 70s.
Yeah, I think The Little Mermaid was the 70s. Yeah. And everything. Yeah. Cinderella was.
Did you see
than that.
The Little Mermaid live action? I really liked that.
I did.
Melissa
too.
McCarthy did Ursula justice.
I was really worried about her. I mean, she did good. I still think she could have done better. And she's nothing on the original, but she did better than what I actually expected of her. As soon as I heard she was cast, I was like, oh, goodness gracious.
Mm.
Mm. I really wanted Queen Latifah because she was so good in Chicago. And I thought she would have just done it. And she's also done it on a live action stage as well. Mm. So Queen Latifah would have, I thought they would have. But never mind, Melissa McCarthy was good. I did like the live action remake of Little Mermaid. The thing that, there were some bits of it that I thought were like, but meh. And was this necessary? But I really liked that they gave the prince that she fell in love with like a personality and a reason for her to actually want, you know, because in the original.
Because he was very flat in the original.
Yeah. And it was just like, oh, he's just a pretty face.
Yeah, because he was just a pretty face.
And I like that they gave it some depth. So okay, fine, understandable.
That's when they do a good job in live actions, is when rather than trying to rewrite characters' stories, they actually illuminate them more.
Have you seen the Cinderella live action one?
Yes.
I love that. I think that...
Aren't there a few versions of live action
No, but the Disney did a live action remake.
Yes. Yeah.
And the Disney's live action remake is chef's kiss.
Yeah, because I've seen the Disney one and I've seen a couple others, I think, as well. But I don't remember distinctly. But I remember there was one live action I saw where they actually did have the stepsisters cutting off body parts. Like in the original.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sawing down their feet to make sure that they could fit them into the shoes. Yeah.
But it was like in the live action and you actually got to see like the blood coming out of the shoe.
Ugh.
Yeah.
By the way, kids, the original fairy tales are a lot more horrifying than Disney did.
I found out recently they were originally written for adults.
Mm. I thought they were supposed to be like cautionary tales, like more like scare the kids to sleep.
Maybe. Someone said recently to me that they were actually intended to be read for adults.
Mm.
Which I thought quite interesting.
Yeah. Do you know how the original Little Mermaid ends?
Yeah, she turns to seafoam.
Sorta. Not well. There's two different versions, but it's how she turns to seafoam.
I remember it was grim, but I don't remember exactly.
She decides to, because she can't get the prince, she decides to
Oh, that's right.
She decides to unalive herself.
Yes. Rip the Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. We air at 10 o'clock at night now.
I was like, oh gosh, we have to put a disclaimer for that.
We should probably put a disclaimer. Yeah. But we are talking about historical stories.
Yeah, so. It's just still in the context of things. You probably have to make sure that we talk.
Well, after the episode, we'll record a little clip that they can put at the start of the episode. Yeah.
What was I at? Oh, yeah, with the other thing with the live action remakes is that what's the new one? Beauty and the Beast. I didn't watch that one.
I did see it. It was okay. The costuming was pretty slack.
Yeah.
I did like the set, though.
Yeah. It just felt really, like, forced with the, oh, this character is gay. You know?
Mm.
What's his name? Gaston. His friend. And it's like, oh, you're just taking that on because you want to appeal to us.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that one, because that was one of the first live actions that they started
wasn't it? No, it was Cinderella was the first, and then, they did Mulan?
No, because I'm sure that was pre-COVID. Beauty and the Beast. And Mulan was sort of during COVID.
I thought Beauty and the Beast, I could be wrong, but it was
It was one of the
later ones anyway. I thought it came out after Lion King.
I'm looking it up. 2017.
Oh, okay. I stand corrected. Maybe. Honestly, I don't think time is linear. Despite
time is a flat circle.
No, it's more like what's it called? Not Davy Wavy. From
The Good Place.
Yes, yes.
The Jeremy Bearme.
Jeremy Bearme. Yes, time is Jeremy Bearme.
Yep. Oh, that was a good film. TV series.
Yeah. Oh, on good.
The Good Place.
Good on good. Campy TV series. Have you ever seen Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
No. You're about to be very upset at me, aren't you?
No, because it's one that like not many people have heard of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's basically a musical TV series. And it's set in her mind.
I don't like musicals and TV series.
It's not the context of it is that it's it's very good. Because she does a lot of parody songs and she makes fun of
that's cult. Worse.
She makes fun. No.
I'm very specific about what kind of musicals I like. They should be film length or shorter.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, the TV series is very good. It's campy and it's funny. It's like it's got the same sort of like comedic timing as The Good Place. And then there's like one or two musical numbers in each episode.
Jesus.
And it's funny because she makes fun of culture and our society and expectations towards gender norms and things like that. And it sounds like
it's trying very hard to appeal to everyone.
No, it's actually very good. No, it's not going to appeal to everyone. It will not appeal to straight people. It will not appeal to straight people, and I'm telling you that.
Okay. I suppose anyway, we can watch the first episode.
Yeah.
I don't commit to anything more than that.
Okay. Fair. Anyway, it has some queer characters as well.
Mm-hmm. on the topic of queer characters, because that's what we're supposed to be discussing today.
We can flip and flop and go around in circles. You know, our conversations can be Jeremy Bearme as well.
Yes. Jeremy Bearme.
Yeah.
I love the little the dot on the I.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because neither of those words should have an I in it.
Oh. Well, the J could, if it was lowercase.
But it's a proper noun, and it's the start of the sentence.
I know,
so it should always be capital.
I know, it should always be. But in this case, this is The Good Place, and nothing makes sense.
Yeah.
So it could be lowercase.
But it was definitely an I, wasn't it?
Yeah, or maybe it was spelled Jeremy Bear and me with
like Bear-in-me.
Yeah, or ended with an I instead of a Y.
No, I think there was a Y on the end.
Or maybe the person that wrote time went, oh, flourish, bloom.
I don't know. But, good show.
Eleanor is so bi.
Are there any queer characters in The Good Place?
Yeah, Eleanor. I'd say she is.
Is she?
The amount of times that
they had the thing with
Tahani.
Tahani.
Yeah, she was like, oh my God, she's so beautiful. I would climb that like a giraffe.
Mm. Yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
Do people ship them? I bet people ship them.
I think they shipped her with a lot of people, really. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the protagonist in any series always gets shipped with everyone.
Yeah. And she did, you know, hit on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there, I'm sure there was like a.
Oh, they had that stereotypical campy gay guy in the last season.
Oh, it's been so long since I've watched it.
Yeah.
But didn't they, when they were flicking through the different trials, like there was a version where.
Yes.
Eleanor and.
She got matched with someone. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they got matched together at one point, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. Yeah. I do think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Gay characters, queer characters.
Yeah.
I liked. I know a lot of people don't like the term queer, you included, right?
Yeah, I'm iffy with it.
Yeah, I prefer to be called queer if someone's looking for an umbrella term, because I feel like LGBT is very clinical almost.
That's the thing. It's really hard to find a term that
there's
kind of
no
becomes,
warmth to it, I feel like.
Yeah, I like the – so my gripe is that I'm okay with like queer as an identity and on its own, like, you know, like there's lesbian, there's gay, there's bisexual, and then there's queer.
Mm.
But it's an encompassing thing. I kind of don't feel like I relate to queer, and I don't feel comfortable with it. And that's mainly because, like, I was bullied a lot as a kid and called that. And so every time, even though I've had so many people tell me, oh, it's time we should reclaim it, own it. Like, I still don't have that strength or comfort to do that. So that's my issue with it. If I don't want to use LGBT and I want an umbrella term, I say the rainbow community.
Mm.
That's something that I go for, because that way I feel like I can include myself within that community. And yeah, but I don't like being identifying as queer myself or being called queer.
Because I would probably call myself queer over like gay or bi or whatever.
Yeah.
I just find it easier.
Yeah. Whereas I'm distinctly bi. I like that. But also, it's Bi Visibility Week.
Oh, yes, it is, isn't it?
Yay, people can see me now.
And wasn't it? It was like Sex Worker Day the other day or something.
Quite possibly.
I don't know. One of our mutual friends posted on their Instagram story about it.
Yeah.
As they are in the industry.
Yeah. As someone that is not really engaged with the industry, nor is also not part of it, I this sort of thing goes over my head sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know. I just saw the story and was like, oh, cool.
Mm.
Yeah. Words.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very sleepy today.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a sleepy day. I was exhausted yesterday.
Yeah. I think part of it is that it's really hot and muggy.
Yes. It's so warm in the studio today.
Yeah. And so it's like.
Yeah.
What sound was that? My goodness gracious. Ugh.
The echolalia is getting to us.
Oh dear.
Is it Lelia or Lalia? Echolalia, echolalia. Or is it an accent thing? Oh, you don't know what echolalia is?
No.
It's
I get to learn something.
Okay, so it's very common in nerd spicy folk, but it's like the urge to repeat a sound that you hear.
Ah.
So when you did like, and I did, that was me doing echolalia.
Oh, I see. Got you. I understand. I was wondering, like, where echo.
Yeah.
Mm.
But, that's fun. Yeah, inanimate sounds or sounds that people have made or that sort of thing. Just the urge to repeat a sound.
Mm. I have an urge to, like, try and, like, repeat people's accents or the way they say things. Like, even
I would call that echolalia.
Yeah. Like, I was watching a video last night on Instagram, and they were, like, speaking in an Irish accent, and I was like, oh, I was trying to repeat everything that they're going to say, because they had the subtitles too. So like, okay, I'm going to try to do their accent as they're saying it. And I was like, yeah, okay, that's just.
See, I can do accents perfectly in my head.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I try and make my mouth do that, it's like, nah. And I will never, ever do an accent in front of anyone because I am so deeply ashamed of what I sound like.
See, I'm quite good at it.
I can do an American accent, but that's all I'll do.
Yeah, but there's a lot of different regional accents.
I don't know which one it is.
Oh, okay. General, just
American. Just general American.
Yeah. 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 When I was younger, I used to watch, this is going to age me, Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. And my mother didn't realize that the TV actors had accents until I started repeating or mimicking the characters on screen, And I was apparently did a very good job at imitating their accents.
Yeah. I feel like I just need to practice doing accents, but I'm so ashamed of it. I don't want to practice because I don't like how I sound, even just to myself. I was talking with Anne literally yesterday about like Snatch Game and doing impersonations and everything. And I was just saying, like, I will never do an impersonation.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about, plugging shows. The Politics is a Drag, hosted by Kira Sane, aka Judas Collins. Mm-hmm. Judas Collins? Yeah. This Saturday.
Judas.
And we were talking about it and she was like, oh, are you in that? And I was like, no, I don't do impersonations. Yeah.
I was going to be in it, but then I was like, oh, you asked me like again last minute. And I was like, this is too hard for me. Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, shall we wrap up for the day?
Yes. Go do the drag show this weekend at yours. What's it called?
Politics is a Drag, hosted by Kira Sane.
Probably starts about 7 or 8. Honestly.
About 8 o'clock, I think. And there's also two shows next week. We've got the Quiz Night with OUSA, which myself and Anarchy are performing at. And then on the Saturday, we've got The Revolution, also at yours. So have a snoop on Instagram and find the tickets for those, because they're all over everyone's socials.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. Goodbye.
Ka kite.
Thanks for listening. Diversity Dispatch is a fortnightly show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Tune in next time on oar.org.nz or wherever you listen to your podcasts for more queer and diverse content. Over and out.
If this program has raised issues and made you worry about your or someone else's mental health, here are some ways to get help. If you need to talk to someone, the following free helplines operate 24/7. 1737 Need to Talk? Call or text 1737. Lifeline 0800 543 354. Youthline 0800 376 633 or text 234 between 8 a.m. or midnight. Depression Helpline 0800 111 757.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.